gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life will lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." But Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
May the words of my mouth and meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen. Amen.
A movie that debuted this weekend is called A Wrinkle in Time. You may be familiar with the Madeline Engel book of the same title. It's a fantasy, and yet it's very, very real. For it tells the story of a young child whose father is supposedly killed, has died. He was an astrophysicist, and he speaks of a time-space continuum that it is possible to create a wrinkle in, and in that wrinkle, you are immediately transported to whatever time you wish to go to, wherever you wish to be. She stumbles upon this and through a series of circumstances is able to go into this time continuum and go to where her father now is. Oprah Winfrey is her guide, so you know she's going to pull it off. No doubt about it. And I thought to myself as I was flying back from beautiful Cleveland, we do this every Sunday. Every Sunday we gather here and we hear the lessons. And in so doing, we do a wrinkle in time. We go back to Hebrew scriptures, the time even before Jesus' earthly ministry. And we hear the story of a people who lived in a land very far from ours, very different from ours. If you ever get a chance to visit their land, go and do so. And then we're transported to a time where Jesus interacted. And to a time after Jesus' earthly ministry and his resurrection, we hear the story of the early church. And so we transcend time and space each Sunday when we gather to hear God's word. And I think it's particularly appropriate that we hear the lessons that have been assigned for this, the last Sunday in Lent, before we enter into Holy Week. Because you see, we're right on the cusp of being at Jerusalem. And in the story from Jeremiah, the people are in a distant and alien land. Their time has been disrupted totally. Their lives, as they know it, has been absolutely erased. They are in a new place and a new time. They are desperate. And they cling to the notion that they are in this predicament because they have offended God. And the covenant that God had made with these people, God's people, when they were led captivity in Egypt, they have broken. And now God has sent them into a new captivity. They're in Babylon. They don't know how to get out. And so the prophet Jeremiah comes, and this is what he says. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seeds of humans and the seeds of animals. In other words, these two great houses, Israel and Judah, will become one yet again and will be prosperous, and people will live from the land, and there will be bountiful plenty for all. This is what Jeremiah is saying, that the God has planned for these people. And speaking for God, Jeremiah says this, I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land. No, this is going to be a different covenant. This covenant will be put in place and will not be dependent on their honoring it. They don't even have to buy into it. What a strange concept for a covenant. Because usually it takes two to make it work. But God says, I'm creating a new covenant. And this covenant is so important, so germane to who these people are, that I will write it on their hearts. It will not be on any tablets coming down from any mountain. It will be with them, ingrained in them, part of their DNA, God says. I will put my law within them, I will write it on their hearts, and I shall be their God, and they shall be my people. Jeremiah. This changes everything. This makes all the difference. And so on the time-space continuum, we move forward, and we come to the lesson from John. Let me give you a little context. Let me kind of unpack what's going on around this. If you read this 12th chapter of John, you find that Jesus has come into Jerusalem. We're a week ahead of ourselves. We haven't entered the city yet. The palms have not been put down. We have not heard the shouts of Hosanna. We've not been over at the law to bless the palms and reenact the entry into Jerusalem. This has already happened when we hear this passage, though. And among those who come to Jerusalem for the festival are Greeks. Food. And they're there. And they come up to one of Jesus' disciples and they say to him, Sir, we want to see Jesus. We want to see Jesus. And so they go and they tell Jesus about this. Now we don't know for certain whether they did indeed see Jesus. That part is not told to us in John's Gospel. But what is told is that Jesus is now saying that I'm living into this new covenant. You see, Jesus is the new covenant, the fleshing of the new covenant, the Word made flesh and walking among us, being as us, eating and laughing and drinking and crying, raising people up from the dead. For you see, Lazarus has already been raised. And oh, by the way, they're not just plotting on killing Jesus. We've got to take Lazarus back out, too. We can't have him going around saying that he's raised from the dead. All this is happening at the time that Jesus is talking about a new covenant. For Jesus says this, now is the judgment of the world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. Now that those aspects that you think are real, they really are not. For I am making this new covenant. And when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. All people to myself. No exceptions. This new covenant is for everyone. No one is left out because you see, we all have a heart, and it's been written. And it doesn't matter whether you decide to welcome the covenant or ignore it. You know? The foolishness of God's love is that she includes free will. Who would have thought, right? And so Jesus says to them who hear it, I will raise all up with you. For this new covenant is for all of us. And in a time such as ours, we need to hear yet again that God's love is for all of us. That the momentary nature of the world in which we live is very real to us because we are a part of it. We should not ignore it. We should not decide to disengage from it. But we need to realize the perspective that we have. And the perspective that we have is that this is transitory. The covenant is in our hearts. And the covenant has been made flesh in the personification of Jesus, who says that this gift is for all, Maranatha. And so as we make the final steps, the final day's journey into Jerusalem, as we prepare for the incredible story that is Holy Week, the story that is our story, as well as the story of those in another time and in another place, a story whose beginnings are bedrocked into the Holy Land experience, into an experience of people in great exile and great pain, and yet with newfound hope, because the covenant has been written in their hearts. As we make this preparation for this journey, let us remember that the covenant is with us, that Jesus' love abides around us, with us, for us, and through us. And that there will be those who will come to us in one way or another and say, we wish to see Jesus. And when that happens, may we, by the gift of the presence of Christ's Spirit, say to them,